You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Episode of Our Story podcast, a series about inspirational and queer achievers from across the Indigenous community. She's a writer, a blogger, and a trainer who moved into business at a young age as a part-time freelancer and quickly became a serial entrepreneur, creating businesses and opportunities in her native Torres Strait Islands and beyond. She also showcased Torres Strait Island and Aboriginal business acumen on the world stage, speaking at the World Indigenous Business Forum. Recently, her creative work was picked up by the government to reach out to Torres Strait Island communities and Yumpla Talk speakers as part of their COVID-19 safety awareness campaign. This is the story of Wetati woman Kandisha Takai. I am Bertrand Tungandame, and this is the Our Story NITV podcast.
My name is Kandisha Takai, and I am a proud Torres Strait Islander and Wetati woman living on Thursday Island in the Torres Strait.
Kandisha Takai's brush with entrepreneurship and curiosity began when she first moved from her native Torres Strait Islands to Brisbane to study. She was first struck by the lack of knowledge about the country and its peoples, especially lack of knowledge about the Torres Strait Islands.
When I moved to Brisbane, I met a lot of people that didn't even know where the Torres Strait was. It's quite ignorant of people, but you just don't know if you're not taught it at school. I've been asked, you know, if I needed, like, if I was from another country because of where we were, or if we drive on the other side of the road.
Kandisha Takai started into business organically, starting at a young age after graduating from university as a part-time freelance writer, and moved gradually into more involved entrepreneurship.
I started freelancing when I was still in Brisbane. I think, you know, this was years ago, out of uni, and I was working for a lot of small businesses. So I got to see that insight into how businesses sort of run, even, you know, small micro businesses to large scale property development businesses. So I was able to sort of look behind the curtain, and it honestly didn't look that hard. So I just thought, oh, I could maybe give that a go. So I started off more or less just freelancing. And I think I started freelancing from about, I don't know, 2012, 2013 onwards. But I never was game enough to sort of make that leap to being full-time employed by myself, like, you know, full-time self-employed and working for myself. I have done a lot of articles and blog writing. So I've worked in tourism for a long time, and I was a blog editor for the Tourism Events Queensland blog. So a lot of my writing is more kind of journalism. When I was in property and finance coming up, I did a lot of writing for magazines. So I wrote for, you know, Australian Property Investor magazine, Smart Investor magazine.
When she finished her studies in Brisbane, Kandisha Takai went back to the Torres Strait Islands, and there she quickly identified a glaring gap in logistics. But having developed business skills, she quickly moved in to address the issue. Overnight, she created Strait Removers, a removalist business, to meet a crying demand in the community. This company not only filled the gap, but also provided badly needed employment opportunities to family members and the local community. On top of that, she juggled this business with full-time employment.
When I moved back home to the Torres Strait in 2018, the crayfish season closed early. So up here, one of the major industries is crayfishing. So we have a lot of fishermen. So a lot of my cousins and family members and uncles, they're all fishermen. The season closed early, and a lot of them were out of work. coincidentally, we noticed there was this massive gap in the market for removalist services. So I just figured, hey, let's start a removalist business because there was that need and I had people that could work the business. So overnight I had a website created and I, you know, had the logo, everything, and I sent an email out to all of the government departments up here. By the next day, we had about 3 jobs for the guys to do. So yeah, there was a definite need for it. So we had that little business going. Straight Removals was what we called it. We had that started and I was running that while I was working full time as well. So it was a lot of juggling there to sort of get it off the ground.
Though Straight Removals was a very successful business, it appeared to Kandisha Tucker that this was not the right business for her to be in, as it presented some physical challenges that she could not personally overcome. She sold the removalist business to better-suited family members who took over and kept it thriving. Kandisha Tucker then focused her energy full-time on a new company, Lola Digital, a boutique content and creative agency.
In early 2020, so early last year, I ended up selling the business to another family, local family as well, and they now still operate the business. So Straight Moves are still going, which is awesome because I would have hated to, you know, see that sort of die out, or as well to, you know, close the doors. I'm more happy that it has, you know, exchanged hands to another family that can run the business. They're 100% Indigenous owned as well, Torres Strait Islanders, and that sort of started my passion for helping people to sort of get into businesses themselves. So when I did sell that business, I then decided to take my freelancing more seriously. So while I was running the business full-time, I was working full-time and I was also freelancing on the side in my marketing space. So when I sold that business, I was able to start working for myself full-time. I took that leap and was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to work for myself, because the freelancing started ramping up and I couldn't juggle that full-time job anymore. So I left the full-time job to work full-time for myself. So now I run my own little business called Lola Digital. It's a boutique creative and content agency here on TI. I just work with a handful of clients so they can offer, you know, tailored marketing services, anything from, you know, website development to, you know, graphic design with posters and things like that, or, you know, social media. It's really whatever clients needs. I sort of make it work, including video and things like that as well. So I've done a whole bunch of little projects around. So I did a lot of the videos for CIAF that happened, the virtual event. I did some videos that made it to the AFL Grand Final last year. Yeah, I've worked with orgs around Queensland, which is great, and around NT as well. So it's been really great. It sort of did better than I expected. But yeah, that's sort of my business journey.
Juggling work-life balance is one of modern life's issues that Kandisha Tucker has identified. But she says that running her own business allows her to address this issue in her own terms. She also says that juggling work-life balance has proved to be easier than tackling the digital divide.
I kind of live by my calendar. I've even put in, you know, into my calendar times where I have to have a break, or, you know, that's my time to do household chores, or that's my time to spend with family. Or I have been very strict. I used to work a lot of nights. Then I stopped working nights because it was just too much. So the way I sort of manage it is I have my boutique business. So I only work with a handful of clients, so I don't take on too much where I can't handle it. And then my passion on the side with helping businesses develop, that is more on an as needed basis. So when things pop up, I either fly away or I go to conferences. You know, I sit on the Berg, which meets 4 times a year. So I've got a meeting in March in Brisbane. So I'll fly down for that as well. So it's just about, you know, really managing my calendar, having time for lifestyle and things like that. It's quite easy as well because, you know, where I live, it's beautiful and it's 2 minutes from any of my clients that are on the island. With my other clients, I can just, you know, have a Zoom meeting with them or catch up with them. So technology has been super helpful when it does work, because, you know, we do have the massive challenge of connection up here. We only have Telstra but the connection isn't very, very strong, even on good days. Connection is something that I think really needs to be looked at, especially in our region, because I'm on the main island and I'm having connection issues. I can only imagine how tough it is for the businesses that are in the outer island communities as well, that are trying to establish themselves and get started as an e-commerce business or just operating in general, because everything is cloud-based now. So if they're not able to get online, they basically can't run their business.
Shatakai advocates for action to provide equal access to the internet where Indigenous, especially Torres Strait Islander businesses, are not on an equal footing as the rest of the community.
I really think that the government should be looking at to make sure that we're able to play in that e-commerce space, because there's a massive push for Indigenous businesses to play online and play, you know, in that space. But unfortunately, my people up here, we really struggle to play in that space because we can't even get into it. Yeah, I do hope that that's something that we can resolve.
Katisha Staka's passion for business has allowed her to represent Torres Strait Island and Aboriginal business on the world stage. She is also heavily involved in training and passing on knowledge to other Indigenous entrepreneurs and micro-business from regional and remote communities.
I was able to travel across to Vancouver, Canada for the World Indigenous Business Forum. I was able to speak to a room full of business owners from across the world, Indigenous business owners, which was really awesome. I've also been heavily involved with IBA Forum, which is a cohort of under 30 entrepreneurs, so people under 30 years of age. I guess I get kicked out of that this year because I turned 30. Yes, I was being I was able to be a part of that, and I've also been appointed as a member on the Business and Innovation Reference Group, which sits with Advanced Queensland. And yeah, so it's really crazy. Like I didn't think a lot of this was out there, but as soon as I got into business, you know, that the support is out there and there's a lot of, there's just a lot of other business owners out there that you can connect with. And, you know, with my passion for business and helping others get into business, I was also able to get involved with One Business, which is a new program run through Advanced Queensland, partnering with TAFE, which, you know, allows us to host really tailored business training for, you know, new and micro businesses, Indigenous businesses across regional and remote Australia. So we're very keen to get that happening. I'm a facilitator in that. So I'm hoping that we can bring the training up to the Torres Strait and to NPA as well.
Recently, Kadisha Taka's creative work was picked up by the government for its COVID safety awareness campaign in the Torres Strait Islands and Yumplatok speakers across northern Queensland.
I had one of my friends reach out. She was helping out 33 Creative who were behind the campaign. She was helping them to sort of amplify that message across Torres Strait audiences. And she reached out to ask if I wouldn't mind doing a little video so that she could share on her platform, Faces of the Straits, which is an Instagram platform with, you know, a lot of followers, a lot of Torres Strait Islander followers as well, which is why, you know, it was really important that we amplify the message there. So I just did a little video, and then I didn't realize that that video would then be used broader than it was. I really only thought it was going to be used on Faces of the Straits. And then little did I know, it ended up going a bit bonkers, and it ended up, you know, being used by government and as well, you know, it was on radio and other places. So yeah, it was a surprise to me because I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do this little thing to help my friend out. And then it went crazy. But yeah, no, it was really good. So that's how I got involved with the campaign. So it was like accidental involvement, but I'm really happy that I did get involved.
Kanisha Takai says today there's greater awareness of the history of the Torres Strait Islands, and at the same time, Islander culture and languages are thriving.
No, so it's really good to amplify Torres Strait voices. So we call it, like, so up here we call it Zenith Kiss. We're starting to sort of take that name back. It's really good to see that, you know, our traditional languages are making that comeback. And, you know, even in terms of government as well, where we're able to, you know, really amplify our voices and represent ourselves the way we want to be represented.
That's it for this episode of our Story NITV podcast. Thank you to our guest, Wotathi woman, writer, blogger, and entrepreneur Karisha Takai. And if you want to listen to more of our podcasts, the NITV podcast, Take It Black or Balling Out, just go to where you get your podcasts from.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.